Good morning. My name is Michael McCusker. So now, the century sheds its adolescence, although the millennium remains a baby. The 21st century is 21 tomorrow, 1-1-2021. Although we are hardly halfway through a catastrophic pandemic that has killed several hundred thousands worldwide, we are rid of another pestilence, this beginning of a brand new year. Humpty Trumpy has been finally pushed off his phantasmagorical wall, and none of the people's prefects have any desire to put him back together again. Today I read something I have written, sort of epistically, in the spirit of a new year on this last day of an old year. I call it An Assumption of Freedom. The history of an age is not about solutions to problems, but of the struggles between several possible probabilities, and of the manner in which seekers for certain answers are deflected by others working for other expediencies. Capitalism, communism, fascism, authoritarianism, monarchialism, any and all isms are constantly forming and reforming, overlapping and separating, and inherent within all of them are the human factors of power, avarice, violence, and asininity. No system of any sort is foolproof, and like every other organic or inorganic substance, each moves irrefutably toward decay and dissolution. The farther in time a form of governance or ideology moves from its founders, the less recognizable its foundations. Nationalism, Marxism, plutocracy, and democracy are no more than moving parts of a process of human transition, evolving into something else. Ideals, which are usually expressions of concern that people have about the welfare of others, devolve into ideologies that separate them as enemies. Ideologies do not translate well into tangible realities. And as writer Mary Kempton once implied, the bearers of political myth of every era seem to carry in their hands the axe and spade to execute and inter the myth of every previous era. For most of their histories, the overwhelming majority of our ancestors spent their lives in terror of each other. They lived in villages, towns, or cities that were sacked and decimated, often to the last living creature. They were impressed into militaries and died on the pikes or were blasted to bits by the cannon of other Shanghai serfs or citizens. They were imprisoned, tortured, and slain for the slightest misbehavior, or none, and worked unbearably hard, whether slave or peon, for so little that most died considerably young, if not slaughtered, in the interminable wars, or by injury or pestilence. The only real significance of the eternal conflicts that besought our species is the epic flow of blood, the slaughter of quintillions of our kith and kin at every turn of history's pages, for reasons as brief as their lives. The names of the obliterated multitudes are seldom recorded, only their numbers, more often exaggerated or minimized, aggregates of epical holocausts. War has advanced civilization as brutally as it has destroyed civilizations. Humanity is as naturalized to warfare as breathing and copulation. The rewards and losses are grossly unequal. History shrieks with the agony of injustice, only briefly muffled by excesses of gross brutality. The oldest struggle after survival is for freedom, of being an equal part of a community, not enslaved by it. This is, of course, the elemental and decidedly uneven conflict between the world's minority of haves and have-nots that comprises most of the rest of humanity at varying degrees, from the primarily wretched poor and indigent up through the subordinate, still discordant, wavering multitudes, quote-unquote, Shakespeare poetically characterized the hoi polloi of his time. Sometimes the oppressed and downtrodden revolt against the powerful few, who are in turn angrily terrified at the rage. And sometimes the defiant revolutionaries are able to overthrow their kings, dictators, and bosses. But elites always rise in even the most originally classless societies, and the world turns upside up again. Political and societal rights and liberties that are hard won by one generation are usually eroded by succeeding generations, who fritter them away without realizing how rare and necessary they are. It would seem that history is too often a recurrence of people acquiescing, if not actually complicit, to the intermittent ascension of dictators and despotism. A sad and sinister premise that the natural state of human governance might be that of rulers and ruled. Elites do take root in every society and strive to acquire unequal power unless a counterbalance restrains them. Democracy is one force of resistance. Democracy is essentially a pragmatic compromise between the yearning for freedom and the urge to subjugate it, generally held together by a constitution of laws, rights, and liberties, and often critically incomplete in its concentration on political rights without enough emphasis or attention to economic and social rights. Democracy is perpetually at war with itself, an intense battlefield of human emotion and disparity. Freedom has not been an easy or fully realized achievement, nor justice anything less than a fierce, unremitting wrestle between those who would extend the rights of democracy and those who would limit and, given a chance, abolish them. American democracy is not a triumphant example of liberty and justice for all, but a perpetual work in progress, and we are everlastingly entangled in revolution and civil war. We are too often governed by ambitiously pious hypocrites we irrationally elect in corrupted elections, who are mostly white males representing a homogenous country club apartheid in a nation in which women are the majority and a plethora of multiple races and genealogies vastly outnumber Anglo-Caucasoids. Subterranean to the exalted American dream is a savage inequality of gender, race, and socioeconomic class in a society that claims to be classless and non-prejudicial. The persistent conundrum is that the actuality is much less than advertised, that neither freedom or equality is the daily reality for several millions of Americans who are governed as if they live in a police state because they are poor or are of a minority race, or if they are immigrants or refugees. Essentially, two Americas have developed, one rich and privileged, the other is the rest of us, much less consequential. The old evils of worth measured by wealth, gender, and race, with separate sets of laws governing the disparate strata and pecking order that perversely undercuts the foundations of American democracy. The nation's powerful plutocrats of both political parties insist the economy defines American reality more than democratic ideology. Money is the nation's ideology, is their mantra and pledge of allegiance. This particularly parochial and patronage-obsessed subculture interprets the economy as their own personal control of the nation's wealth, which also confers upon its members dominance of political leadership and authority. releasing boodles of money from the public treasury, most of it pried from the middle class and blue-collar workers to business and the wealthy elite, is considered good, even necessary, for the economy. Feeding the poor or providing them adequate welfare, health care, or shelter, or even educating them, is deplored as erroneously uneconomical and as an adverse drain on the national treasury. America has seldom been kind to its minorities and poor. Each time an outcast population struggles for equality, the powerful and others who despise or fear diversity or do not wish to share wealth or power attempt to squash the individuals and movements responsible, usually in the names of law and order and or national security. Yet forcing the poor and minorities to remain in poverty and despair is ultimately detrimental to real national security. The best and brightest are disregarded, and all of us in the long run suffer for it. The manner in which democracies in particular decline into despotism is wild extravagance at the top and impoverished misery at the bottom. Democratic freedom and across-the-board justice and political equality imply a mature citizenry. To be free and liberated is a large responsibility, and many people do not want it. Freedom is an abstract. We are never free from the possibility of death or injury. We must work to feed, clothe, and shelter ourselves and families, and always there is the fear that it will be taken away. Freedom insists on the value of the individual, but the accelerating complexity of American society is constructed on aggregates and consensus, which reduces the value of our individual contributions and usefulness. Our thinking and sense of self-worth are critically affected. An individual and collective perception of personal and political helplessness is apt to settle in. And our government perpetuates psychological and constitutional paralysis by attempting to make itself seemingly omnipotent to such a degree that disagreement or dissent to its policies or actions are regarded as disloyal or even as treachery. It is exactly that form of officious scorn our ancestors attempted to break away from. Though, of course, some of them wanted only to substitute themselves as the local authority in the absence of the king's power. A free and open flow of information, regardless of ideology or opinion, is a necessary and essential source and method of preserving what remains of our constitutional democracy and enlarging its freedoms in a world in which they are constantly under attack. It is the responsibility of the people in a democracy to contain governmental impulses toward despotism, which, without that constraint, erodes power of the people. The First Amendment to the American Constitution is unequivocal. Nothing shall abridge freedom of speech, therefore freedom of thought. It is the ideal that distinguishes American democracy, but does not exceptionalize it, and is more in theory than actuality. And it is the ideal of democracy which distinguishes it from every other form of doctrine and doctrinaire governance. Not wealth or system of acquisition or consumption is as important to history as the obstinate, desperate endeavor to reverse history and make it possible for ordinary people to be equal and independent under the law. James Madison argued in 1791 when he introduced the Bill of Rights to the American Constitution, "The people, not the government, possess the absolute sovereignty," quote unquote. Abraham Lincoln said that if the people retain their virtue and vigilance, no government authority or administration, quote, "by any extreme of wickedness or folly, can seriously injure the concepts of our founding ancestors." And if we wish to take hope and some encouragement to right the imbalance of power in this flawed and errant democracy, take strength from a letter James Boyle wrote to his local hometown newspaper, the New York Times, a few years ago, and which I repeat every opportunity. One reason we have a democracy is because people make unspeakably stupid decisions without it. And that was something I wrote, An Assumption of Freedom. And now, 2021 New Year resolutions. Let us now praise famous elections. The presidential election this past November 3rd is one for the history legacies, an upheaval of encroaching tyranny by patriotic abhorrence amidst a deadly pandemic pestilence. American voters have ejected a presumptuous putz whose dictatorial misanthropy and deceit inspired a populist revolt that exiles him to the dustbin of history and hopefully throws out the dirty bathwater with the abominable baby. It might seem utter partisanship to suggest that a best possible outcome of the ramping quasi-civil war between the two major political parties might be, well, that the Republicans might self-destruct through their own wolfish hysteria, as did their predecessor Whig Party, and that the majority party system reconstruct by each faction of the Democratic Party, the so-called leftist liberals and the liberal centrists, realigning as separate parties, which would certainly elevate the quality of discourse in the perhaps reunited states. One party misrule has been checked, at least for a cycle, although its ruthless and hypocritical assault on participatory democracy continues to fester. The false premise that one political party or creed be granted absolute power and the absurd claim that a single ideology is infallible and every other option is regarded as unpatriotic or treachery is the most pervasively dangerous aspect of contemporary politics in the USA. Fortunately, American voters sensed the malignant threat and beat it back, at least temporarily. The political and corporate corruption and incompetence that underlie the decrepit and pathetically avaricious Trump presidency will take a long time to repair. Yet everyone should be aware of the chilling future without constitutional democracy, imperfect though it is, and susceptible to zealotry, corruption, discriminations of every sort, and of course by both latent and overt tyranny, as demonstrated by Trumpism. If indeed we succumb to tyranny by homegrown despots, it might be hoped that a future populace will successfully struggle against similar despotism and oppression and redefine liberty, equality, and justice. The following list of New Year's resolutions were concocted as a personal, every citizen type resistance to incipient Trumpism, but remain a propos in this reformational epoch. First on the list might be a resolution to re-educate yourself and critically examine the fundamentals and history of human rights. Resolve to refuse fables of racial and national supremacy might be the next resolution. Resolve to stand firm against a despotic attempt to reinstate a neo-despotic patriarchy. Resolve to refute current notions that the opposition does not have the right to exist. Resolve to assist holding together a society threatened with dissolving into disorder and inequality by Yankee Doodle apartheid. Resolve that if chaos and disorder devolve upon society by bigoted cleansing campaigns, to retain democracy in the home and in the neighborhood and community. Resolve to not allow and to personally intercede when the essentials of democratic life are threatened. Remember, we have the absolute right to defend our rights. resolve to understand implicitly that a majority begins with one and flows outward. Resolve to resist one party and or one religion rule in this overwhelmingly multicultural nation, which would destroy democracy more surely than the cancer of onerous economic inequality. Resolve to return the term populist to its rightful definition of the people, which has been tarnished and soiled by right-wing absolutists who wish to eradicate governance by the people, and simultaneously resolve to remove the elitist stigma of the term progressive. Resolve to defeat tyranny masked within democracy. Resolve to bear witness to local oppression. Resolve to not be bullied by even the most dangerous and spiteful. Resolve to personally stick up for the rights and persons of those prejudiced against. Resolve to resist the so-called security state that protects the ruling class by suppressing the rights of the people. Resolve to resist a registry of Muslims or any other religion, race, minority, or opposition. Resolve to show up at protests against the hijacking of the democratic government. Write letters, send emails, tweet, and speak out whenever and wherever necessary. Resolve to donate and participate in progressive causes. Work in campaigns for local, state, and national progressive candidates. Resolve to keep your head and convictions when others might temporize their own. Resolve to not be pushed around by bullies who think they have a mandate to sow and reap fear. Resolve to refute petty demagogues who will try to shout you down. Resolve to resist or shake off complacency. This is no time for it. Resolve to organize against the anti-democratic purge of not only the external forms of democracy, but also the explicit deterioration of its substance. Resolve to resist the resurgence of the nuclear arms race. We are past that insanity. Resolve to resist government and corporate oppression at work. Revive unions. Resolve to resist government control of information and suppression of a free press or any other form of speech, thought, or media. Never forget that the First Amendment is the real guardian of all the other rights and liberties guaranteed by constitutional government. Resolve to resist privatization of education. Public education preserves democracy. Resolve to resist denial of women's rights and equality. Male superiority is a sick joke. Resolve to fight for women's reproductive rights and resist attempts to abolish Roe versus Wade. Half the human race subjugating the reproductive half is ridiculously counterproductive. Resolve to resist racial, sexual, and ethnic slurs and attacks against anybody. Resolve to not remain silent when someone spouts racist, sexual, or ethnic remarks. Resolve to resist attempts to abolish environmental standards and fight to increase them for the health and preservation of our descendants and the world they will inhabit. Resolve to resist climate change denial and those who speciously espouse that denial. Resolve to ardently support affordable and competent health care for everybody. Resolve to support gun control and restraints upon those who may possess firearms, especially open carry laws and posse comitatus-style militia armament. Resolve to demand restraints upon upper-class wealth accumulation. Resolve to insist on limits of corporate influence over laws and politics. Resolve to uphold fair laws and resist unjust and prejudicial laws. Resolve, in addition, to demand investigation of Russian connivance in the presidential election on behalf of Trump as the Siberian candidate, and in addition, in the name of fairness, discourage covert American interference in elections around the world. Resolve to help reform the Democratic Party to its essential roots by participating in local party affairs, as well as standing up to the Republican Party's pernicious and unworthy obsession for power. resolve that Oregon as a blue state on the upper left edge of the lower 48 act as a bastion of democratic liberties, despite the presence of ravaging right-wing militias. Resolve to support public media through active and financial participation, and also be persistently insistent that commercial media meet its responsibilities on the public airwaves. Resolve to passionately keep the promise of Abraham Lincoln at Gettysburg that we are a sovereignty of the people, by the people, and for the people. Resolve that this is not a time to quail or cavil. Futures of descendants and possibly planet are at stake. Franklin Roosevelt said at his first inauguration in 1933 that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Do not be afraid of being afraid. We are living in an increasingly fearful and dangerous time. Resolve to utilize your very warranted fear as soldiers do in a war, to desperately fight for life and liberty as our revolutionary ancestors fought to create freedom down to the last generation. This is Michael McCusker. Dylan Halser-Schalk engineered this program. Stay safe and protect everyone else. Mask up and lock down. Have a happy virtual new year.
Plantation.